This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Rex Huerman.
Well, you're about to see in our next segment with psychotherapist Siobhan Scott explores one of the most puzzling aspects of the Rex Huerman case, the locked rooms in the family home and Asa Elrub's continued denial in the face of serious criminal charges. Before we dive into the footage, let me provide the factual context. Rex Huerman has been charged with murdering seven women over a period spanning from 1993 to 2010. The charges are based on several types of evidence that prosecutors have made public, including DNA evidence, linking hairs found on the victims to Huerman and his family members, cell phone data, and a document found on his computer that prosecutors describe as a planning document which refers to body disposal and avoiding detection, you know, like you have on your computer. You don't want people to find. The Peacock documentary we're analyzing, the Gilgo Beach Killer House of Secrets, was filmed after extensive police searches of the Huerman home. According to news reports and the documentary itself, these searches left the house in significant disarray, with furniture removed, walls damaged during the investigation. What makes this footage particularly significant is that it shows Asa Elrup giving a tour of areas of their home, including what she describes as a gun room with a steel door and combination lock and a separate locked area that she refers to as the secret room everybody talks about. According to Asa's own statements in the documentary, she was not allowed to access certain areas of the house that she lived in during the marriage. Raises important questions that Siobhan Scott and I explore. How does someone rationalize being excluded from rooms in their own home? What does that mean when Asa simultaneously claims nothing was off limits with Rex while showing us rooms she couldn't enter for decades? The documentary also captures Asa's reaction to the charges against her husband, despite the serious nature of the accusations and the evidence prosecutors have presented. She dismisses the planning document as a Dexter-style and absolutely absurd thing. She suggests investigators are picking, making assumptions for their narrative. What you're about to witness is psychological analysis of these contradictions. Siobhan Scott is a psychotherapist with expertise in trauma, family dynamics, and killers. Helps us understand how someone can maintain such a strong denial even when confronted with locked rooms in their own home and serious criminal charges against their spouse. It's important to note that Asa Elrup has maintained her belief in Rex's innocence throughout this process. She filed for divorce shortly after the arrest, but has stated this was for financial protection, not because she believes he's guilty. She continues to visit him in jail and speak with him regularly. The footage you're about to see raises profound questions about denial, family dynamics, and how people process information that threatens their entire worldview. As we watch Asa tour these locked spaces and dismiss the charges against her husband, we're seeing someone whose psychological defenses may be preventing them from accepting a painful reality. Please remember as we analyze this footage that these are real people dealing with an unimaginable situation. Our goal is not to judge, but to understand the psychological mechanisms at play when someone's life is shattered by accusations of this magnitude.
The allegation is that when you married Rex, he'd already committed a homicide. Had you had any knowledge of that, you wouldn't have married this man and then chose to have children with him, correct?
No, there's no abnormal behavior that I ever actually noticed. And if there was any knowledge at all, some unusual behavior in that man, I would have walked out the door.
You wouldn't have brought your young son to live in an environment like that.
No.
There was a lot in that clip, even though it was 30-some seconds long. I want to talk about the way she was not looking at the camera. I want to say look at the way where she suddenly did look at the camera with those crazy eyes at the very end. Kind of like how Karen Reed did, where it's like, I don't know, could I have done this? Could I have done that? I must be crazy. I'm the worst criminal in the world. Sue is following that path of like, I think Asa's definition of abnormal behavior might be different than the rest of ours. Oh, what's your thoughts?
You nailed it. Yeah. You nailed it. You look at the home that Asa had created there, and hoarding is the right word. And clearly when somebody is not within the realm of normal themselves, they're not a very good judge on what's normal for other people.
Not at all. I mean, the kids, obviously, this has also been normalized for them growing up. This is how life is. There's the the creepy room in the basement. And we're going to take a look at that in just a second, because that's been talked about. There's so many pieces of her not seeing any red flags, but, you know, there's a lot of red flags here. And if she had loving critics in her life, I'm going to guess she was kind of isolated. Would you?
Very isolated. And when she says everybody needs a friend, my guess is he's her only friend and has been her only friend. And the other thing, you mentioned her eyes. Throughout the documentary, when she's being confronted with, but there's evidence, she talks, but she closes her eyes or looks away. And I found that fascinating. It's like she is not going to see it.
No, she appears to not. And she really acts that out with her eyes. Like there's no direct eye. Do you think she knows deep down? I mean, that there is something really wrong here, and that because she obviously is emoting a certain way. I think if she truly believed there's nothing wrong, you may look at the camera. You may look at who's interviewing you.
100%.
Like there's nothing wrong with them. I don't see any, but it's look away and it's kind of struggle through the information that's you've been confronted with and the information that you've liked to have been believing for the last 30 some years.
Yeah, I think the thing with the eye contact is denial in physical form. She probably has no conscious awareness that this evidence has got to mean something. You know, there's so many red flags and so much wrong here and so much evidence about it. But this goes back to those unconscious defense mechanisms, and denial is powerful. It's incredible what people cannot see because their mental structure as it is, it just prevents them from looking at it. And so when she closes her eyes, it's, I think, her mind-body connection saying, I am not going to look at this.
Yeah, and the daughter, we'll hear from her in a little bit. She also talks about just trying to cope and try to get through all of this, but she seems to be a little more open to the idea that dad's not who she thought he was. We'll get to that one in a little bit, but let's take a look here at some of the tour that we get of the gun room, the room that authorities do wonder if while she was out on those long Icelandic trips, was he butchering people in the basement? That's part of the wonder. Here's Asa showing off the room in the documentary.
This is the steel door. It had a combination lock. It's this lever here. It's a very easy way to get out, so no one can get locked in here. Now, this is the room where he displayed his firearms collection.
So the famous gun room, when I sat there, I recall vividly that he said, in 30 years, you're the fourth person to ever be in this room. And I was like, wow. And that's when he showed me his collection. See, he started collecting rifles and all kinds of guns early on when he was 18. And it was an amazing collection.
There's nothing in this case that suggests that those guns were utilized in the commission of any crime.
A walk-in gun vault, that's one thing. But a secret room? I was like, oh my God.
According to a colleague of Rex Huerman's, he had a room specifically built in his basement that even his wife was not allowed to enter.
That's the secret room everybody talks about.
It's kind of a walk-in closet in the gun room that is actually right under the stairs.
He didn't want anybody to have access to it, the secret room, so nobody would know, not because he was hiding anything, but because he wanted to secure a safe in there.
And I actually didn't see what the inside of it actually looked like until after all this happened. I couldn't get in there myself.
Well, there you go. He's just trying to keep everybody safe. That's all it was.
And how weird is it that the family members never went in the room, never saw what was in the room? Again, this is not normal. But when you are, you know, growing up in this environment, you don't have a very good idea of what normal is. Mm-hmm. How creepy.
Yeah. Everybody just kind of, this is like we said earlier, what healthy, what normal is to Asa and the family is not normal to everybody.
No.
It's not normal if your significant other has a secret room that you're not allowed to go into for any reason. I'm not talking—
with a steel door, yeah.
Not talking man cave. I'm not talking she shed. I'm talking you go in there, our marriage might end. if there's anything behind that door that may make that happen, that's a big red flag. That may be something you don't want to explore much further with your partner, if that's what exactly is going on there. Let's take another look at some more of this. Asa, she's clearly very much in denial. We're going to watch a couple clips here. I don't know if we're going to go in a row or not, but this is just some of her, not wanting to believe, not wanting to really face up to what reality might be on reality's terms. Let's take a look.
I liked seeing him. I really liked seeing him. It was comforting seeing him.
Nobody could be in your position. A serial murderer. You're married to him for 27 years.
I just don't see him that way. No, that's not the Rex I know. So if they're going to sit there and tell me that he only did this during these particular time period that I was away on vacation, I'd have to question that. If the man is that much of a genius that he's capable of doing that, okay, I don't believe it.
Here's another one where we're going to look at about not believing that Rex could be up to anything. Let's take a look at this.
I'm sorry. That planning document is so Dexter style. It's absolutely absurd.
Say if they really did happen down here, he really must have been like Superman. For us not to have noticed anything ever. This used to be like his bedroom growing up. A lot of his, like, not only just gun stuff, but a lot of his childhood stuff, family heirlooms, were in this room. So for him to do that in this room, a little unrealistic, but I guess not impossible.
No, sorry. You want to know how I feel? They are picking, making assumptions for their narrative. I know that. I've known Rex since I was 18 years old. I know what this room was originally used for, and they're just allegations. He's never said to me, don't use my computer. He's never said, no, I'm not going to give you the password. I need that.
In other words, there's never anything off limits.
There is nothing off limits from Rex Huerman.
There's nothing off limits from Rex Huerman while she's going through the room that she's not allowed to go into.
Exactly. Exactly. What is reality here?
What was happening there? Yeah.
The little smile when she says, you know, they're just picking things here. And basically she's saying they're manufacturing the evidence. And she looks up and she smiles again. It's fantasy kind of thinking.
It is. And it's completely delusional. Of the daughter, though, did say, well, it's not impossible.
A little bit of grounding in reality for her to be questioning it. Yes, which is good.
What we just witnessed requires some careful reflection. The image of Asa Alrup touring locked rooms in her own home while simultaneously claiming nothing was off limits represents a profound psychological contradiction in one sentence. Big thank you to Siobhan for helping us understand that better. But let's be clear about what we know factually. Rex Huerman has been charged with 7 murders. The evidence includes DNA matches, cell phone data, and documents found on his devices. His own daughter, Victoria, has stated she believes he's most likely guilty. Yet Asa maintains his innocence and continues to support him. The gun room with the steel door and the combination lock, the secret room under the stairs, these are Asa's own descriptions of spaces in her home. She herself states that she couldn't access these areas, yet she sees nothing concerning about this arrangement. This isn't speculation. This is what she shows us in the documentary. What makes this particularly significant from a psychological perspective is the concept Siobhan identified as doublethink, holding two contradictory ideas simultaneously. Asa can say Rex kept no secrets while showing us the secret room. She can claim investigators are manufacturing evidence while unable to explain why her husband needed locked rooms his family couldn't enter. The Dexter-style comment, that deserves some attention, don't you think? When confronted with a planning document that prosecutors say details murder methodology, Asa's response is to compare it to a fictional TV show. It may be a psychological defense mechanism, but making the evidence sound like fiction, she doesn't have to engage with reality. For our audience, particularly women who might recognize controlling behaviors in their own relationships, consider what we've observed. A woman who was excluded from parts of her own home for 27 years. A woman who, according to news reports, discovered after her husband's arrest that she had no access to their finances. A woman who, despite all of this, continues to defend the man who kept these secrets. It isn't about judging Asa Elrup. This is about understanding how psychological defenses can be so strong that someone can't see what's literally in front of them. Locked doors in their own home. It's about recognizing that denial can be so powerful it overrides physical evidence. As this case proceeds towards trial, the DNA hearings and legal procedures are ongoing. Asa continues to visit Rex regularly. She continues to maintain his innocence. Whether she will ever accept the possibility of his guilt remains to be seen. What the documentary footage provides is invaluable insight into how family members of accused criminals process or fail to process devastating information. It shows us that sometimes the people closest to an alleged perpetrator can be the least or the last to see what others find obvious. Those in our audience who might be struggling with their own difficult truths and sometimes the one that they love, remember that denial is a powerful psychological defense, but also remember that healthy relationships don't have locked rooms. They don't need secret spaces. They don't require you to ignore evidence or dismiss serious concerns. In the comments, tell me what you think about this case, where it's going, what we saw. You can do that on YouTube. Press subscribe there too, so you don't miss any of our episodes of the cases that we cover for you. If you're listening to our podcast on any podcast platform, be sure to press subscribe there as well, so you don't miss any of the coverage. I'm looking forward to seeing your comments on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us there if you're not already there. I am Tony Bruschi. Thank you guys for watching. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.